Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
ETN in trouble, and he's going to be buried by Neville Hewitt, but they're going to keep him out at the one, the officials say. In any case, it is over. The Houston Texans come back to beat the Jaguars 24-20. A final drive to remember as Stroud found Dario Gunbowale for the game winner. Defense just had to kill the final 12 seconds. And the Houston Texans go to 3-1, solidifying their lead in the AFC South.
The goal for us every week is to win. There's no such thing as an ugly win to me. Like, you finish with the win because, as we know, in this league, wins are hard to come by. It doesn't matter who you play. So, man, I'm just proud to get a win. And it doesn't matter to me how we win them. Just finish with the win.
That is where we will start today. That is where we will start on a reaction Monday, a victorious reaction Monday. And I think that cannot be lost on us today, is that this team is 3-1. They are 2-0 in the AFC South. I know there was a lot of laundry on the field yesterday. I understand that. I get that. But as we welcome you in on a victorious reaction Monday, that is where I choose to start because, yes, they indeed did win the football game yesterday. Thank God CJ Stroud is the quarterback for this football team. As we welcome you in, I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne.
Yo.
How you feeling this morning?
I feel good. Which game was it where we came in, we decided, when we realized, gosh, you know what, I think it was after the Sunday night game. We were like, we're probably a little too negative after that win, like, and forgetting that
2-0.
They were 2-0.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I feel more justified now in that, even as the Bills looked very mortal last night versus the Ravens.
Mortal, yeah.
That there's things on this team where you get, it's like being frustrated with your child who is an A student but is getting B's.
Yep.
Right? That's, or at least you know they have
exactly
the potential.
What it is. Yeah.
You're like, come on.
Yeah.
Like my brother and I. My brother was a C. Well, they used to think he was dumb. It turns out he wasn't at all, and they shouldn't.
No.
Yeah, but he was a C student. So right. It's like as long as he was not failing and getting C's, cool. You're good to go, man. But other siblings in the family,
such as,
come home with a B+. I'm like, what's going on, Seth?
Yeah.
Well, that's how I feel about the Texans right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You're capable of so much more. Why? Why are you doing all these things?
Why are you making it so hard on yourselves?
Why are you hanging out with those shady kids? They're no good for you.
Right. So let's start with the win though. Texans win yesterday.
No. What did he say? What did he say? No ugly wins.
No ugly wins.
No toothy. No ugly wins.
No ugly wins. D'Amico Ryan said it yesterday. No ugly wins. They're 3-1. And this is and we're going to hear from D'Amico here in just a second. In fact, let's do it now. This was D'Amico. Yeah. This was practically an opening statement yesterday that he did at the press conference. Because D'Amico knows that they can't keep getting a dozen penalties every game. For the third straight game, they had 11 or more penalties. They can't keep doing this. He knows that. But it is a win. The Texans are 3-1. I will remind you that a little over a year ago, this was a team that everybody thought was going to be one of the three or four worst teams in football. Now they're being judged, and I think appropriately so, like a team that aspires to be one of the three or four best teams in football. It's remarkable that that's happened in a year. But this is where we are. Here is D'Amico Ryans on how proud he is of his guys.
Wow. What a game. What a battle. Very proud of our guys. We talked last night in our team meeting just about, like, whatever it takes, whoever it takes, and however long it takes, let's just find a way to finish this first month of the season 3-1. So very proud of our guys for finishing the right way. As we know, a lot of things to clean up for us with the penalties. It's like we're trying to break the record for most penalties in the league, which we got to clean up. This is our third straight game of over 10 penalties. It's just, not good enough. And we have to find the guys who want to do it right all the time and play clean football there. But very proud of the effort from all of our guys. CJ, they let us down when we needed to. Dare stepping up big time for us. And Nico, and he's been lights out this entire year. Like, to start the season, like being the NFL's leading receiver, he just shows up every single time we need a play. Nico is making a play. So I'm so thankful and happy for him that he's on our team.
Oh, I'm thankful for Nico, too. I would save that for November, late November, where he'll have had, eight more 100-yard receiving games?
Yeah.
Most likely,
yeah.
At that point. You and I were talking before the show, and you said, thank God they have CJ and Nico. And I said, you know, in a lot of ways, this this team, it's kind of like the 2004 Texans, except it's like with Andre Johnson and a much better quarterback.
A much better version of the quarterback.
So it's not, as far as the actual wins and how they've come by them and everything, I'm like, yeah, I feel like if we just swapped QBs, we might be the exact same teams.
Yeah.
That's why it's frustrating at times. Look, it was five straight punts in the second half.
Yeah.
It was astounding how inept and ineffectual they were. And yet, that final drive where they really weren't in, it didn't feel like hurry-up mode. It almost felt like a four-minute drill where you're trying to grind down as much time as possible. But they moved methodically down the field, and I think the fact that Ogunbowale and Dalton Schultz and others were big parts of that drive, to me, when I'm looking at the team over the course of the first 4 weeks, you got to figure out who you are, what you can do, how you're going to make your money. And, you know, maybe they learned some things, because defensively as well, you pointed out that they somehow just hemmed it up in the fourth quarter.
That Tank Bigsby run was the last good play the Jacksonville Jaguars had on offense the entire game.
After, right, Kalen Bullock saves what appeared to be a touchdown.
Would have put him up 10.
And the run defense, which allowed 158 yards rushing on the day, makes a very impressive goal line stand. And maybe that was a turning point in some regards. You know, maybe they figured some things out. But I did, after being really, really frustrated for a long time in that game, at the very end, you know when you can tell. I think in the fourth quarter, I just felt like I'm not going to be happy no matter who wins this game. I feel like I'm just, nobody deserves to win this game. I surprised myself by, after that win, kind of feeling like, you know what? All right, I got to quit being a jerk. That was gritty as hell.
Dude.
That was gritty as hell in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, dude, look, by the defense on the last three drives.
By the whole team, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just listing. By the defense on the last three drives and the fact that with 2 minutes and 54 seconds left when the Texans got the ball back at their own 31, despite them having punted five straight times, my confidence level was very high that C.J. Stroud was going to go do something positive on that final drive, just because that's who he is. You're right. Sometimes relief is joy. I was relieved after that game yesterday more than anything else. You needed to win that game. If we're coming in here today and they're 2-2, and I know the Bills got destroyed last night, but that's a good football team coming into town on Sunday, the Bills. If you're coming in 2-2 with the Colts now tied with you in the division, the team you just beat 2 weeks ago, and you've got Buffalo and two road games afterwards, that's tough sledding. They needed to win that game yesterday. So, yeah, man, like sometimes look around the league. You know, like look, like take a look around the league and see what the records are of some of the teams that we're expecting as big of things as the Texans are this season. Like it's a crazy year so far. It's a minefield for everybody so far. I know a lot of the Texans' wounds are self-inflicted, and that's what makes it so frustrating, is it feels so fixable and so careless. All these penalties, that makes it very frustrating. It also makes it fixable, and it makes it, hey man, we're 3-1 through all this garbage that they've gone through in the first 4 weeks.
I think that's ultimately what it ends up being, is a reminder that even though on KHOU last night, Jason Bristol made a good counterpoint to something I said. I talked about the youth and, you know, some of the things that it's hard to believe and accept, but there are some really good young players who are going to get better. At least that's the way it should work, as long as you're getting coached up. Kalen Bullock and Kamari Lassiter will get better. I think if you look at yesterday's game, the thing I kept thinking was, my God, if Sam Darnold was the quarterback of the Jaguars, they'd be getting crushed right now.
Yep.
Because Kamari Lassiter had a couple. He bit on the double move the one time. He got beat on a go route another time. Yeah. But these are the things that good young rookie players do. You know, Derek Stingley was a better player in his second 8 games in the NFL.
Yeah.
I can't remember when those finally came, but it seemed like it took forever. It
took a while.
But so that'll improve. Offensively, I think, look, we can say, you can almost use penalties as a synonym for offensive line right now.
Sadly.
I guess fewer false starts. Or was it just fewer by Laremy Tunsil?
Laremy had no false starts. He lined up properly the entire game, but then in the fourth quarter, he had two crippling holding penalties.
Yeah, it looked like Shaq Mason got screwed on at least one of those.
I haven't gone back and watched
that close enough to see what movement the defensive lineman thought there was. But Yeah, look, Laramie's, and as was pointed out on the broadcast, and a friend of mine who was an offensive lineman in the NFL said the first lesson his college coach told him his freshman year was, if you're an offensive lineman and you're wearing bright colored gloves, you're a moron.
We had somebody, we've already had a text about that to the show 3 minutes ago. Maybe our old lineman should stop wearing red gloves when the opposing team is wearing white uniforms.
What's my biggest issue that I forgot I had even said, but a bunch of people reminded me via text? Oh, the Instagram OTs. They're not OGs. They're Instagram OTs.
They're fashionistas.
You got to have a little flair.
Oh, yeah.
How many flair buttons do you have today, Titus? I've got so much flair. Look at my red gloves. They're going to see how sweet these hands are my red gloves.
Red, bright red gloves against a white background. So I think the themes from yesterday, look, the CJ and Nico combo is special to watch. No question about that. Nico's making a run at Offensive Player of the Year here early on. Yeah. He's already fifth on the odds board last week, and now he goes 12 catches for $1.50 yesterday. His catches are so big, too. They come at such crucial times, it feels like.
The one thing I'm wondering, too, and this is not a huge problem. This is not like a number one on my list of concerns or anything. There are times where, man, because CJ is so good in the scramble drill with Nico, I worry that they might develop the bad habit of extending plays a little too long than just waiting for somebody to come open. You know, we used to see that with Deshaun and DeAndre.
Yeah.
Because, man, if you just wait long enough. Listen, CJ, sometimes you just got to accept reality. This is not the offensive line to do that behind.
No.
Although pass protection improved in the fourth quarter as well. They figured some things out. Well, but
that Josh Hines-Allen got concussed.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's right.
He missed the last quarter and a half of the game. But they took advantage on that last drive. So Texans win 24-20 yesterday against the Jags. 3-1, 2-0 in the division. They're leading the division. Hell, if the Chargers could have found a way to beat the Chiefs yesterday, that game was 10-10 late into the fourth quarter. The Chargers could have found a way to beat the Chiefs. The Texans would be the number one seed in the AFC right now.
I said yesterday, hey, all you people who were really concerned, and you remember I was trying not to be a grumpy old man about it. But, I was trying real hard not to be a grumpy old man about, hey, the Texans acting kind of like they've arrived and done something already. Like, there's a level of confidence and braggadocio that I'm like, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure I'm comfortable with this.
We're there.
I felt like, after the game, I felt like, hey, look, even though the Texans won, you were proven correct in
you're
that.
Justified.
They're playing like a team that doesn't quite understand what kind of an edge they really need to win. And yet, in the standings, they've kind of arrived.
The Chargers could have closed the deal yesterday. They're number one in the AFC.
Doesn't change the way I feel about it at all. But you're right. It's a good reminder of just how haphazard everything is.
Yeah, dude, the house is not burning down by any means. That's what I would tell Texan fans. All right, let's circle back. The Texans, I don't think they got Doug Peterson fired yesterday, but boy, they sure had him pointing fingers after the game. We'll have that for you. And we now know who the Astros are going to be playing. We got to react to that as well. We know this is storyline wise. This might be as good as it gets in the wild card round around baseball, the Astros series. And we'll tell you why coming up next.